Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 31 of the Juvo Hub Show in podcast and on YouTube. We appreciate so much all of you, our wonderful audience, and how you support this show. Today, we are bringing back to the show John Rebo. We'll introduce him in a second. So we're looking forward to having another great conversation on the scope of wellness and being a consumer of your healthcare. So we're going to dive into that in just a moment. First of all, John Rebo, welcome back to the show. We're glad to have you.
Thanks, Jonathan, for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's nice. Last time you and I got into some nice specifics on just best practices for wellness. So I'm interested to hear your take. Here we are a year later. Where are we at with this topic, and what are some things that employers can think about? So John, you are a certified corporate wellness specialist and employee benefits consultant with Higginbotham HR Services. So that is an amazing title, and it really describes your passion for what we are going to chat about. But one more thing before we get into the subject, Mark Howell, the man, my co-host, what's happening? Welcome, dude.
You know what? I think the better phrase is just your co-host. The man is a lot of pressure, Jonathan, but I appreciate that. I'm glad to be here. It's a great topic. So I'm anxious to dig in too.
Yeah. And it's such, especially today, like, has there ever been a more critical time period where healthcare and wellness has been on people's minds? It'd be very difficult for any of us or anyone who's listening to this show to say, no, I haven't been thinking about wellness. And that's no big deal to me. Can't even imagine that. So John, let's jump into it. So the question is how to be a consumer of your healthcare. And interesting way to kind of kick the show off. So give us a summary, and then we're going to kind of dive into some thoughts and best practices on what you think about that.
Sure. I'm a big fan of keep it super simple. So I'm not going to get real technical on this, but there are some things, you know, in regards to being a better consumer of your healthcare. It's just some things that we advocate with our clients when you're looking at your health insurance package, your benefits package at work, is to really look at what you have. You know, there are EAPs that are associated with most health insurance plans. That stands for employee assistance programs. Mm-hmm. And they're very underutilized. It's usually just an 800 number. You know, even if you're not feeling very well or just feeling yucky, you can call these numbers. It's completely confidential, and you'll have somebody that you can talk to, a professional that may be able to help you with something. If things are even deeper than that, you could go deeper. Another thing that I try to talk to our clients about is you should have an idea of where the urgent care facilities are close to your house. If there's an emergency and you have your health insurance with your company, it happens so frequently that all of a sudden the emergency occurs and then you just don't know where to go. All of a sudden you're running off to the emergency room, and that might not be the best place for you to go. So take a look at your policies, figure out what urgent cares are in network close to your house. And another one that even actually happened to me is by my work. You know, what urgent cares are around work, you know, that if all of a sudden you're feeling funny or you need, you know, help, that you should know where those urgent care places are. So these are just a couple of, you know, simple things to really take a look at when you're looking at your healthcare benefits at work. Take a look at them and see what things are there. Another big thing that a lot of people don't look at is their programs come along with a teledoc, something that you can actually call in and speak to a doctor or a healthcare professional. And a lot of people don't even know where that number is. So just, you know, keeping things very simple is get that stuff organized. So when an emergency does come up, you know where to go and turn. So that's just a, you know, just a few little things to look at when you're trying to be a better consumer of healthcare. Know where the help is.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I wish I had heard that advice years ago when I had a kidney stone at home during dinner and I was all bent over in this terrible pain and I couldn't remember where the urgent care was. It was, you know, well after hours. And I got in my car and I drove myself around trying to find one in that kind of pain. Have you ever had a kidney stone, either one of you guys? Or
oh, I've heard about it though.
I never have, but I hear that they're really painful.
It is awful. And I tell you, that's probably the best advice so far right now is that know where those types of facilities are at all times, either at home or at work, right? So for sure, that's one thing that I did certainly after that.
Yeah, it kind of gives me the visual, John, of like, do you know where your fire extinguisher is? Do you know where your fire exit is? Do you know, you know, what's your emergency procedure? Like, these all should be part of that. And, you know, and it kind of leads to another question related to, like, do you feel or do you have any comments on, like, what does it take to just not, we were talking about this before the show, like, for the most part, we're used to, we either write a check or it gets a deduction from our paycheck. And that's the extent that we pay attention to our healthcare. Is the fact that it's a financial thing that comes out of our monthly income. You know, what are you talking about? What are you hearing to in order to kind of get people into like paying more attention to their health, not only the fundamentals of what's available to them, but just in general, what's the conversation like these days?
You know, just living a healthier lifestyle is a big part of things. You know, you look, I think you're talking about your health, you know, what you're paying for your health insurance. You know, a big, huge topic right now, and has been for years, is just the rising cost of healthcare. And it is, it just keeps on going up and up and up. And as an employer, if you're looking at this singing, how in the world can I get this to stabilize? If I could get it to stabilize and actually go down, that would be amazing. And once again, I think it's back to keeping things simple. Any type of insurance policy, just think about your homeowner's insurance. If you have a bunch of claims on your home, your insurance prices are going to go up. Right. If you have a bunch of unnecessary claims and people are going out of network instead of in network, these things cause the premiums to go up. What you really need to do, once again, in keeping things simple, is you need to figure out how to bring the claims down. And usually the best way to do that is to try and help your employees to be healthier. It's easier said than done, but really and truly, if you want to, you know, lower costs or at least stabilize them, you have to figure out how to control claims.
Mm-hmm. That's funny you say that, but I can remember my mom telling me once, it's cheaper just to stay healthy, Mark. And I'm like, yeah, great idea. I'm going to do that. You know, so I try to live with that kind of mindset that it is. It's cheaper to just stay healthy. But as we get older, that kind of takes over on us, doesn't it? But tell me, what kind of incentives would you say? Or I'm sorry, what kind of things can you help companies come up with that help keep their employees healthy? Because it's a great idea, right? To just sit down with your employees and say, hey, let me help you stay healthier so we reduce our claims, so we can kind of keep a cap on some of the things that are happening on that end of the spectrum. But what are some things that you've seen in the past that work for organizations that maybe we could give our listeners some advice? Like, how do you encourage people to live healthier lifestyles?
Yeah, there are so many different ways that you can do it. And there are some that are even like just crazy, super simple ideas. Like when we start off a wellness program for some of our companies, I'm just thinking of one that just comes to mind very quickly, is we try and engage the employees and let them know that a wellness program is coming. So we let them know that a wellness program is coming. Now, once again, these are super simple things, but it's the engagement that you are looking for. The first thing that we did is let's name the wellness program. So they would use like maybe the name of the company, and then they would throw in wellness or something like that. So you have the employees engaged. All right, there's a wellness program coming. Let's go ahead and name it, and we'll pay somebody whoever comes up with the best name. After we did that, we created a logo, three different logos. So we have the name, then we put a logo on it. And then, so you just slowly engage the employees. I will tell you, this doesn't happen overnight. Unfortunately, it takes years. You just have to slowly get things started. And then another huge thing about this is upper management has to be bought in 100%. If they're not involved and they're not ringing the bell saying that this is a good thing, it really has trouble, really catching hold if they're not engaged and they're not all for it. So you can just do, and then you can get more elaborate with, you'll actually reduce, the cost of health insurance if you do hit certain benchmarks. There could be certain goals and things that you need to do, and you could actually incentivize the employees by actually lowering their health insurance cost because they are doing certain activities to try and live a healthier life. Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. So, I've looked at those too, John, and I was just checking out my phone real quick just to see some of the ones that are still available out there. And it doesn't really matter what size company too. I know even for our little company, we've looked at it and are looking to try and implement something along that line where there is some sort of an incentive for, and they have these apps out there that are very simple that you can, as a community, as an organization, be able to track steps or running or anything along that line. Everyone's different, but like from what you're saying though, it's like that's the kind of like community sense that companies need to look into and see what's going to be a good fit for them and get everybody up, engaged. And I hear you. Like that's it's been a tough conversation for years to move past. Well, simply looking at when we look at our fiscal year and we're planning for the next year, how much can we afford for health insurance for our company? Well, here's the number, and just looking at the number and not really looking at what the number is associated with and looking for creative ways to figure out how we can get that number to come down for the overall employee benefits. I heard one of our guests was talking about, it wasn't a guest. It was a podcast I listened to yesterday, and it blew my mind. It's like, well, there's a big difference on how much health insurance will cost for perhaps an entry-level position in property management on site versus at corporate. And so those numbers may look fine for one position, but they may be really, really difficult to be able to budget for someone who's entry level or working on site. So these are just some big things. Yeah, like you said, that leadership really needs to just not be like, okay, what's in the budget? And boom, sign, move on to the next thing. Like there's got to be a deeper dive into the whole complete picture. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what, Jonathan, you're right. It's kind of like I'm listening to you both. And when John was talking about this, something kind of came into my mind that just educating your employee on all of the things that can go wrong, right? With smoking, with poor eating, too much sugar, diabetes, like, and what that can lead to, the exhaustion or lack of energy. And in our business, as you know, we tend to out on site, we don't always eat appropriately. We don't get lunch breaks a lot of the times. And I can remember, you know, the smoking and just the poor circulation. Like, I think it would be kind of fascinating, John, to actually put a program together where you say, hey, we want to be able to educate your employees on the benefits of, you know, staying healthy, or really maybe do the reverse and do the scare tactic. I listen to scare tactics, you know, like if you tell me what could go wrong, especially as I start to get older, then that makes me want to pay attention a little bit more and maybe take some steps to encourage the whole healthcare idea isn't just me going to the doctor and having my blood work done, right? It's about me taking responsibility for the decisions that I make every day, what I put into my body and how I treat my body. So, yeah, it's a novel idea.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was going to say that I love about the whole wellness program ideas is it can work in so many different positive ways, because if you can get an employee engaged to start living a healthier lifestyle, and they can actually give the employer some type of credit that the employer cared about me enough to actually institute this wellness program. And there are stories where people lose lots of weight, you know, that has changed their lives. I mean, if an employer can do that, you're going to have a really strong employee, somebody that knows that their employer cares about them, that went the extra mile to actually institute these, you know, programs like that. And in many cases, it's not all that expensive. You know, if you get the right insurance broker that will be willing to do things like this, it could be very, very reasonable. So it just can win in so many different ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Amen to that, man, because it's like a healthy employee is a productive employee, is a happy employee. You're dealing with less turnover. You know, you look at, and Mark and I get in this conversation often just from a training perspective. It's like a well-trained employee. Yes. Do you have to pay for something? Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's an investment. It's not an expense. So to your point, do we need to look at something that needs to happen within the organization in order to create a healthier lifestyle? Yes. Will there be an expense? Yes. But it's an investment. It's an investment in your team, which is going to produce amazing benefits, a short and long term, for sure.
Yeah.
So, Mark, go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say, do you have any advice, like when you think about what you do, when you're talking with clients, do you have any advice that when someone says, talk to me or talk to my employees or help me understand how to explain to my employees how to have a better work-life balance? I hear this a lot in our industry where our employees go home very stressed out. They take a lot of their work home with them. And then we have this very long conversation, well, training for me about time management, but it always kind of comes back full circle to a whole conversation around, I have no work-life balance. And that affects not only their health, but also their longevity with their employer. So what kind of advice would you give some of our listeners, some of our clients, advice that isn't so much necessarily about, you know, your health insurance package, but maybe just some off the cuff, like meditate, go jogging. Like, what do you do? What do you tell them to do?
It really kind of depends on their culture, but I think if there's any way that you can communicate to them that they, you know, that there are resources out there to help, you know, like you said, there are all kinds of different apps out there. I just think that you have to somehow engage them and let them know as an employer that you care. You have to somehow do that. I don't know. There's just so many different ways that it could be done. You know, just even as simple as saying that you're coming up with a wellness program. Let's name it. Let's put a logo on it. And it wouldn't cost that much money to take everybody on a 5K run or one of those, or you go for a walk and we'll do the whole company and we'll get some t-shirts and we'll do something healthy. I mean, it can be just very simple things. I think honestly, the easiest thing to do is just get started. Yeah. Get started. You talk to HR. Well, here's one. Even maybe put out an email and see if anybody would like to be part of a wellness team. You know, that you're actually going to be the people that are driving the wellness team, like, you know, a wellness, you know, group that comes together and coordinates a wellness program, that they would, you know, they could all get together. I've seen this happen in work in many circumstances. So I really think it's just find somebody in the company who cares, get buy-in from upper management, and just get started.
I like that. You know, Jonathan, we were just talking about surveying your employees with our last guest, one of our last guests. And I think that's a great way to start, John. You know what? Survey your employees or send out an email and say, who wants to head up this? I know with our industry, we have employees that they want to be recognized. They want to be a part of the bigger picture. And if that bigger picture happens to be the wellness program, then let it start with that. So I think that's great advice. I think you're right. I think a lot of people that I've worked with in the past, we've been too afraid to just start something somewhere. Maybe it's that fear of failure or it never to pick up and take off. But you know what? I think that's great advice to pick a team of people that really want to do it and let them run with it. So I like that.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome conversation. You know, John, we appreciate you being here and being an advocate for it. So this is, you know, whenever you and I get a chance on a call, this is always what you're chatting about. And I know your clients really, really appreciate your passion and enthusiasm behind it. And we're grateful to have Higginbotham in our industry and working with property management companies and other industries as well to help with healthcare, health benefits, wellness programs, and other HR related services. So thank you so much for being here on the show. Any concluding words, John? Any like, all right, this is rah, rah.
Yeah, words of wisdom.
Yeah. What do you got?
I'm so happy to be here and have the opportunity to talk about this stuff. I really am passionate about it. And my hope is that maybe one person that happens to watch this, maybe it affects them in some way. Maybe when we're talking about the employer doing something, maybe you that are actually listening to this, maybe it's time for you to start something. Maybe it's time for you to maybe take a walk around the neighborhood and start living a healthier lifestyle and just start slow. Don't go crazy with it. Just start slow. So maybe those are my closing words. If somehow we touched you, maybe with something that Mark said, maybe you, Jonathan, that they're like, oh, you know what? Maybe I can do that. So my hope is that in my closing words is that somehow in some way that this may have touched somebody in a positive way.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Love it. I absolutely love it. As a matter of fact, I have 8,000 more steps to go for today to get my goal. So once this recording's over, yeah, a couple more meetings, I got to get out there and get walking. You know, I got my goal to meet each day. So yeah.
I did not go to the gym today, so I'm feeling a little guilty about our conversation right now.
Everybody get out of your chair. Let's go. Everybody stretch right now. That's what we need to do. We'll do maybe we should do that, Mark, one of our episodes, do like the old fashioned 1980s 20 minute workout thing or something like that without the, do you remember that? I'm totally dated myself.
I was going to say, I remember it, but I'm going to let you two do that episode. No. Just count me out of that.
No live exercise shows on Jubo. We can't do that, but we will recommend them. Just hit it.
That's right.
Yeah. So John, how can people connect with you?
You know, I really, I like to connect with people out on LinkedIn, and you can just find me at John T. Riebel on LinkedIn. Just reach out to me on LinkedIn, or, you know, if anybody's interested in trying to live a healthier lifestyle or bring this type of stuff to their organization, you can call me on my cell phone. And that number is 678-463-5372. I'm serious about this stuff. If you want some help, I'd be happy to try and help any way I can.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for offering that. And yeah, to connect on LinkedIn. We'll have the link to Higginbotham's website as well in the show notes. And Mark, from How Creative Concepts, industry training. How can people connect with you?
So yes, my company name is Howl Creative Concepts. Howl is spelled H-O-W-L, like Howl at the Moon. Howl Creative Concepts. There's a whole story behind that name, but or you can reach me at mark@howlcreativeconcepts.com. But yes, I'm always, like John said, interested in having great conversations about what we're passionate about. So if you ever want to reach out to me about any type of education, please do it either of those places. I'm on LinkedIn too, and Facebook, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Always a pleasure. My name is Jonathan Saar. This has been episode 31. We're glad to have John back on the show, and we look forward to seeing you guys again soon. Please give us a review on iTunes. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube. We appreciate your support of this show, and we're happy to be able to bring so many awesome guests to help out our industry. So thank you for being here. We'll see you on our next show. Take care, everyone.